Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The portion of God's Word for our consideration this evening is printed for you in your insert from Luke chapter 23, verses 31 to 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. How would you like to be in Peter's shoes? Peter was the disciple that was known to be kind of brash or speaking before he really thought things out and was pretty confident in himself. And as you heard from our passion reading, Jesus took the opportunity when Peter said, "I'm not going to ever fall away," that Jesus wanted him to hear something important. And not so that he could belittle Peter or make fun of Peter or to put him in his place, but because he wanted him to hear something that was very important. In fact, you get that right from the very first words, "Simon, Simon." It's like when you call your child and they're in trouble and you don't want to just say it once. You say it twice, right? Get their attention. "Simon, Simon, this is important. This is serious. Pay attention." And what did he want to tell Simon to remember? Well, something that seems kind of odd to our ears. He says, "Satan has asked." What do you think about that? What do you think about Satan asking God to do something? But it's not really something new. We've heard that before. If you think back to Job, Satan had to go before God in order to ask if he could test Job because Satan felt that Job was getting an easy deal. He says, "Job's not really that much of a follower because he's got all the good things from you, doesn't he? Let me put him to the test. Let me show you that he's really hollow. His faith isn't really there." And so he had to ask God for permission. He couldn't just take Job out of his hand or pluck him out. And that's the same thing that with Peter. Satan had to ask God if he could do something. And this is where we get the flavor of the text. This is where we get the really interesting picture. To sift all of you as wheat. So Satan wasn't trying just to get Peter. He wanted the whole bunch. He wanted all the disciples. And perhaps you've heard of different things, or maybe you've seen it, and how things are done or harvested with wheat, and a little different today, but in the past, in order, without machines, they would cut down all the wheat, and then they would take and fluff up and throw up the wheat up into the air, and the chaff, the light stuff, the worthless stuff would blow away. Except that's called winnowing. That's not sifting. That looks nice and easy, and it looks kind of interesting. What Satan wanted to do was something much more harsh. Sifting is when you put something inside of a container and it's harsh inside so that when you shake it, it doesn't sound so good for what's inside, does it? I don't think you or I would like to be something that is sifted like that because it's painful and hard. And whether this was successful or not, what Satan had in mind for Peter was not just a nice fluffy experience, a chance for him to get a nice part out of life and say, accomplish something, but something that Satan wanted to separate him. He wanted to separate him from his love for Jesus and his love for God. No small ordeal. Well, we know Jesus has the opportunity then to make a couple of responses. He could have told Peter this: "Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow him. I'm going to make this nice and easy on you. I'm going to keep you safe, and there's going to be no problems. That's not what Jesus said or did, is it? He could have said this to Peter. He could have said, Peter, Satan has asked you to sift you as wheat, but I know how strong you are. I told him to go at it because you can show your strength and then put one up on the devil. No, he didn't do that either, did he? As you know, what happened to Peter was when Jesus was arrested and brought to the court, that Peter was in the courtyard with individuals that wanted to point out Peter as one of Jesus' followers.
Doesn't sound that bad, does it? Peter started thinking about, though, what if they do identify me as a follower?
What if they do say that I'm one of Jesus' own, and what's going to happen to me? And so what happened was Peter was going to deny that he knew who Jesus was so that he could get himself a little bit safer, escape the consequences, not be in so much trouble, because he was saying, well, I don't really want to do that. And do you remember what Peter had been saying to Jesus that we heard in the Passion reading? I will never do that. If the rest of those disciples do it, I would not. And you think that was bothering Peter? But Satan didn't do that once. He didn't do it twice even. He did it three times where he wanted Peter to say, I don't know Jesus. I give up on Jesus. I really don't want Jesus. Why would Jesus allow that?
He knew Peter was going to fail, and so he allowed that to happen.
Are there times that have come up in your lives that you think, boy, I can't believe that God has allowed this in my life? That there's those times that say, boy, this is just too difficult and too challenging. This isn't fair. This isn't right. I've been a believer and I've been a member of this church for so long. Why, God, would you allow this into my life? Or maybe you think about some of the things happening in our world. The things that affect people's health or people's lives or people's well-being. And you say, that's not right. That's too difficult. Why would Jesus allow those things? Well, Peter had faith. Peter had a strength of faith, but the strength that he drew on for his faith was in himself. He was saying, I will never do that. Even if the rest, I'm strong enough. Don't even imagine that's going to take place with me here. That pride, that self-centeredness actually would drive Peter away from God if he carried that out. So Jesus saw that perhaps Peter needs to see that the strength that he had isn't in himself. Peter needed to see that by himself, when he would stand up to just a servant girl and a couple of others, really wasn't as strong as he had thought because he had put his own health and life in place of God. Maybe you get that way too when you start to think about other people and their sins. That perhaps my sins, I'm not going to do something big and bold like those celebrities or those people on TV and the news. I'd never do something like that. God, I'm much better. I'm much stronger than that. But isn't that exactly what Peter did and said? Then maybe you also felt that shaking, that sifting that just rips you to the core, saying, what in the world is happening? And then you start to realize how quickly you had actually set aside Jesus so that you could have something for yourself and that your own pride was holding you up. What can happen? Well, the danger is really where we should be led. In fact, we sang about it in the first hymn, didn't we? Didn't that first hymn sound like quite a downer? It just talked about all the problems, all the troubles, oh, darkest woe. And we only sing it during Lent because that's the only real good time to sing it because it sounds so down. That's where Peter was. That's where Peter was when he realized that what God had said was going to happen was going to sift him so much that he would deny Jesus as his Savior. And that's where we find ourselves when we see where we stand with our strength. Boy, I thought I was going to be able to handle these difficulties or challenges. I thought I had been confirmed, and I thought I had learned God's word, and yet I have doubts, and I've got concerns, and I don't know what's going to happen, and we should despair. But Satan isn't trying to just get us. He's trying to get everyone around us. When he finds us in despair, like you heard last week, he's trying to get the whole bunch. He's not interested in just getting a part of you. He wants all of you. He wants you to see that despair is something there's no hope and no chance, and this is awful and the worst thing in the world, and why would I do something? And then you just say, I can't do it anymore. Unfortunately, I've seen that far too many times as a pastor. Those that see some trouble in their life, something that doesn't work out the way they want, they start answering, well, where's God? Why is this going to happen? And I can't believe God would allow this. And so they don't say, well, the only way to turn is to God. They say, I've got to find something else. I've got to find something easier. That sifting is hard. But Jesus allows that sifting so that we can set aside our position. That despair and hopelessness is what we have to be able to do to get ourselves out of that situation. And there was a worse or more difficult sifting that would take place. You see, the devil wanted to really sift Jesus.
You can get that and understand that as Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Also heard in our Passion reading how he was praying in such a way that he was in such concern about what was going to happen that he was saying, God, if you can take this away, this would be much better.
But as Satan was trying to sift Jesus away from God and God's mission, Jesus stood there, didn't he? He said, I will follow what God has given. I will listen to his word, and I will put my life on the line. You see, the sifting that Satan wanted was something he could not accomplish against Jesus. While Peter failed three times, Jesus wouldn't fail even once. When we fail by putting things in our lives that say, well, I got to have this or I got to have that, and we say God's second or third or fourth on the list, and I really, I don't know where he stands. Jesus went all the way to the cross to pay for your sifting. So that as God allowed what Peter was going to go through, he wasn't leaving Peter on his own. He was actually providing a sifting that Peter needed. Grace, really. A rescue. So that when Peter saw that he had failed again and again, Jesus would be there to rescue him. Jesus allowed Peter to fail that night. Peter stepped out of God's protecting hand and left his loving shepherd because he was concerned about what was happening to him. And that endangered his soul. But Jesus did not give up on Peter. Jesus went after Peter and reminded him that he was the one who had come to take away his sins. And you get that at the very end of this little section, don't you? And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. See, God wants us to see his power. And that even though it seems like that sifting is just too much for us to bear, and that we never get it right, in fact, we've given in to that sifting from time to time, we have a Savior who's rescued us. Satan may ask to sift you as wheat. But remember that your Savior has gone to the cross to pay for your sin. And that because of him, you have a promise that can never be taken away. And a promise that he's going to be with you. God may grant that permission. But if he does, he will use it to separate something harmful from your soul. Remember that promise. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.